You're listening to the Hockey 411 podcast with your host, Brian Anderson. Hello and welcome to the Hockey 411 podcast presented by SeatGeek. Use the code THEHOCKEY411 at SeatGeek.com for $20 off your first order. I'm your host, Brian Anderson, and today we are talking Ottawa Senators. Alex Adams makes his return to the show from Sportsnet and the Behind the Play podcast. Alex, welcome back.
Thanks for having me on, Brian. I'm excited to talk some Sens, and it's a bit more optimistic than our prior chat, so it should be a fun one.
This should be a fun one. I know last time when we talked about Ottawa, it was like, what direction are we going? We need a goaltender. We need more scoring. We need a lot of different things. And it just didn't seem right. Like, new ownership, but it still didn't. You didn't see the vision. You didn't see the next step and the light at the end of the tunnel. This year, I might be saying we're seeing the light at the end of the tunnel. Obviously, we have a whole second half to go here. But for the most part, the Sens team is a bubble team right now. I did not have them as a bubble team. I just kind of looked at the roster. I'm like, okay, you added a goalie, but nothing else really changed. Maybe you switch the coach. You bring in another guy here. You bring in another guy here. But nothing that moved the needle. I wasn't a big fan of the Travis Green hiring. I loved him in Vancouver, but I wasn't a fan of how it went down in New Jersey, even in his short stint, and how it ended in Vancouver really kind of stuck out to me. Like, hey, does this guy get another chance here? So he's got this team in a playoff spot as of this recording. But what have you thought of this season so far? Because it's definitely been a little bit of an eye-opener. Like, the Sens team is playing good hockey.
I think it's been, in a sense, a tale of two seasons, where at the beginning of the year, Linus Ullmark, obviously, as you mentioned, came in, was the star netminder, got hurt, didn't play very well, but the team in front of him actually was playing pretty well, and him and Forsberg were struggling. And then they went to, I think they were 8-11-1, and now ever since, Ullmark obviously was just amazing for like a 9-game stretch. Basically, nothing would get past them. The Sens won 8 of 9 games and just roared back, went on a 6-game winning streak. And actually, their underlying numbers would have suggested that they played worse in that stretch than to begin the season. But when you get elite goaltending, that glosses over a lot of your problems. They've had a bit of the injury bug with Perron. Zub probably is coming back sometime soon. So pretty big players, but not, you know, you should be able to still win without those pieces. This isn't a Tim Stutz or Brady Tkachuk getting hurt. So I think you have to give a lot of credit to Travis Green. If you look at the past with this team, as good as their young players were offensively, in their own end, they just were not good enough, right? And I think they didn't, because, you know, for many years it was all about development and pad your stats and you know, play exciting hockey, like grow as a player, get confident. There wasn't that structure in their own end, and that's what was biting them in the butt. And I think Travis Green came in with a bit of a whip and was like, hey, all we're doing is defensive structure. You know, I remember almost at the beginning of the season, Green was like, yeah, we haven't really worked on offense that much so far. We've just been about, you know, putting in the defensive structure. And ironically, this team's actually struggled to score goals more than they've struggled to allow, where they're in like kind of mid lane, like 15th, 16th in goals for, and about 11th in goals allowed. So I think, you know, you see Tim Stützle, he's been a superstar. He's been their best player by a mile, and he's taken a step in, I think, as you kind of alluded to, pretty underrated player in this league, and I think he'll come close to the 100-point mark. And when you have a guy like that, it's hard to miss the playoffs. Like, I look back the past 5-6 years, only I think Pedersen and Miller were the only players who had, and Carlson, Eric Carlson, were the only players who got 100 points and their team missed the playoffs. So you get a 100-point guy, you're probably going to make the playoffs. So I think it's all come together and this team's ready to make the playoffs. They'll probably want to add, in my opinion, another forward, maybe another defenseman. I don't think anything huge or dramatic, but this team is right where they should be. And with the Rangers really just being in a tailspin, I think the playoffs are right there. They just, looks like they'll survive their 9-game road trip with the Rural Juniors. They're 4-2 so far. That felt like a litmus test if they could come out 500, and it looks like they will, or at the very least, it won't cost them dearly like it has in the past with some long road trips.
So there's a lot to unpack here. Let's start with the goaltending and Linus Ullmark. And, I'm going to rattle off a couple numbers here, and everything is either top 10 or right outside the top 10. Like, he's been that good this season. He sits at a 9.2 goals saved above expected, 11th best in the league. Goals saved above expected per 60, 0.43, 9th best in the league. Save percentage above expected, 0.958, 8th best in the league. He's got a 915 save percentage and a GAA of a 2.38. Also, he's got, what, two shutouts, three shutouts here? Top five in the league. Every statistic that I could find when Googling Linus Ullmark this year has been fantastic. And look, when you come from Boston and you have a really good blue line in front of you, you're going to have good things. And the fact that Travis Green focused on that during training camp and said, we need to give him some support. We need to support our goaltenders, because for years now, Ottawa would try and plug and play a goalie and it just wouldn't work. And you'd sit and watch and be like, well, how can my defenseman help them when they're outside the dots and not cutting down shots, or they're not trying to block shots and trying to help me out in front of the crease? This year, there's a little bit of that helping out more. There's more so than I've seen in years past. But Ullmark's also shut the door on some teams. Like, he's looked fantastic. He's coming up with that third or fourth save. Like, he's been the guy that you traded for and extended, and that this organization desperately needed. Because for Ottawa, it wasn't just about getting a stable goaltender. You needed someone to come in and steal a game for you once or twice to make the playoffs. Because, if you just wanted a decent goaltender, that was Korpisalo. He was just going to be there, and you know what? He'd let in a weak one every once in a while, but you'd sit there and be like, okay, good goalie. Nothing, like, he's not going to kill me on certain nights, but he's also not going to win me a game. Ullmark is going to win you that game, and he's been fantastic. Every number, like I said, you could find on Linus is just incredible. He is the guy that they've been asking for in net for God knows how long.
Yeah, no, exactly. And obviously he's had injury trouble. He's out now. He tweaked his back. And despite that, the Sens were able to still win a couple games without him. And he'll be on the shelf for probably a little while. It's unclear how long. So I think that his status looms large with this team. If he can come back in the next week or two and continue the way he was playing before he got hurt, I find it hard to believe that this team won't make the playoffs just because of their skill up top. And I think, their defense is really rounded into shape, with Chabot playing really well with Nick Jensen, which has been a really underrated pairing so far this year. They're out shooting teams, good Corsi, good underlying metrics. So, yeah, I mean, he's been fantastic. As you said, he's stolen a bunch of games. He's got them points where in the past, right, the goaltending didn't just, not let them didn't they didn't just get no real steal of a game from their goaltender. They also didn't would sometimes lose games because of their goaltender, right? And that just hasn't really been happening in the past little while, and that's why they went on a run. And you could see it just in the team. Like, there was there they were way more confident, way less panic in the group in their own end, and then it started to build and build, and they started eking out these wins because they felt like, okay, well, we're okay. We're okay. We're not going to fall apart because our goaltender gives up two weak ones or won't just make an amazing save when we need him, right? So, good for Linus and good for the Senators, and credit to Steve Staios for making that trade and getting the extension done. I still worry about his injury status. He's been hurt essentially three times already with the Sens, a little bit in training camp, then to start the year, and now again, he's over 30. He's never played more than 50 games in a season, and it looks like he might not even this year as the number one. So, I think that's the area of concern, is does his back hold up? Does his body hold up as a number one? And so far, it's right now the answer would be no, but he's played well enough for long enough that this team is now in a hunt, and I think should believe that they have every right to be in the playoffs this year.
They have every right, at least according to Linus Ullmark here. I do agree his injury history is a little concerning, but if Anton Forsberg can also stay healthy, it's a formidable 1-2. Like, Forsberg can carry the load for a little bit until Ullmark gets back. But if you want to win a playoff game, if you want to win a playoff series, it's you need a guy like Linus Ullmark. And I do want to talk about the blue line here as we move up the ladder. And, you know, look, Shabbat Jensen, top pair as of right now, solid. Sanderson, Hamonic, okay. So you look at this top six and you kind of wonder yourself, like, I know Zub's missing. He's a big key. If I'm the general manager at the trade deadline, I'm looking to add probably a right shot D. Look, you traded away Chychrun for Jensen, and it's worked out. Like, Jensen's been fine. Like, he's not burned you. He's been just as what I expected from Nick Jensen in his game. That all said, you know, I love Sanderson. I love Shabbat. This blue line, like we talked about with Florida a couple weeks ago, if you want to make the playoffs, you got to go find another defenseman. Just beef up this blue line. Just make it maybe a little bit bigger, a little bit deeper, something that you can rely on. And I know with, you know, certain teams' tail spinning, like we've mentioned before, there's going to be some sellers, and you could probably pick up a good defenseman for maybe a decent price. But I like, there's good pieces on this blue line. I know when we had you on last time, we loved Jacob Sanderson. Like, he's been that good, and I think he's been that good this year. They do need another name on this blue line, though.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, Nick Jensen has just been the rock for Thomas Shabbat to kind of clean up all his messes. You know, Shabbat isn't the most defensively sound defenseman, but he's great on the puck, and I think he's just thrived with Jensen. Even though Chychrun obviously is a more talented player than Jensen, I think it's worked out for both teams, with Chychrun doing great and in Washington. At the same time, I think, you know, Sanderson's, you know, I've spoken to him one-on-one. I wrote a couple stories for Sportsnet.ca, and, you know, he's pretty, you know, I'd say blunt in his assessment of this year. You know, he basically told me that he thought he played himself off Team USA for the Four Nation faceoff. He feels like his game's been average so far. And, you know, you see how he's just a wonderful skater, huge, strong, is a gym rat. Like, he works tirelessly. He's a really, really good player, but he's struggled, you know, on the puck offensively as well this year. And Travis Hamonic is just not good enough to be on your top pair with Sanderson. So he's had it tough this year, but I think nevertheless, he's still been a really good player for this team. And I would agree. I think if Zub comes back, they're probably missing at least one defenseman on the back end. They have a lot of righties in the system, even though they're maybe not as you know, high end with Jacob Bernard or Docker, but they don't really have a replacement on the left side. So I'd actually go more left shot just for insurance purposes, essentially. But yeah, this blue line is solid, and I think is probably the best one they've had in a long time. Can it get better? Yeah, and I think that's probably what Steve Staios would do if this team is still in a playoff spot or close to a playoff spot by the trade deadline. And I think just one more defenseman would do the trick.
I really do think one more defenseman is going to do the trick, especially if you want to be in the hunt, because if you lose one guy down the stretch, you're relying on a lot of young kids. And I like giving experience to young guys, but for an organization that needs to kind of turn a corner and just rip the Band-Aid off and make the playoffs and just get that experience and, you know, make a run, essentially, you need to go out and really beef up the line. Get a veteran guy, you know, 6-7-8 guy, just someone who's been around the block, someone who can plug and play and be like, I know what I'm doing. I'm not going to get burned and make, you know, rookie mistakes here. And that's something I think I really value, especially when you're trying to make the playoffs for the first time in a long time. And like I said, I love giving young guys experience. I love throwing them into the fire and just be like, you got to learn here quick. At the same time, though, there is something to be said about having that veteran experience. And, you know, one area that we've talked about is the forward core not really needing anything. I don't know if this forward core really needs anything right now. Obviously, I'd like to add when I can, but I prioritize the blue line with the Sens organization, then grabbing another forward out of everything as long as they stay healthy. And one of the reasons why is because you have that depth scoring. You know, you talked about Perron earlier being hurt, but he's been a nice little add. Adam Gaudette, I want to dive into deep here, because a guy who absolutely killed it at Northeastern and was essentially a journeyman up and down between multiple different clubs. He killed it the first quarter of the year. I know he's dried up lately, but he was on. I was like 13 goals this year in 26 games at the point. I don't think he's scored since, but it hasn't been too long. But, you know, he's a plus 5, 17 points. You know, someone who's also very defensively responsible. There's good plays he makes in his own zone, especially on the wall trying to make a good breakout. or closing the gap against the defenseman on a point shot. There are things with his game there, if you go sit and watch, that I genuinely like. And I know he was getting calls from Europe, and I'm happy he decided to come back, because I struggled and was like, okay, that's a name I've heard for a little bit. I'm still waiting on the breakout. Let's see if he can finally put it together. Like, this was his last chance. If it didn't work out with Ottawa, he could go back to the minors in the A, and he'd probably go off to Europe. But I'm really happy for him here. He's found that goal-scoring touch. Like, when you watched him at Northeastern, the biggest thing that out of all his game that he had, yes, he's responsible in three zones, and he's good in his own zone, but it's that quick shot. And we've seen that quick shot come back here. And, you know, 13 goals is nothing to sneeze at. That's a good find for an organization that needs, you know, more depth scoring.
No, for sure. I mean, he's been a revelation. Obviously, for people who don't know, he had a relationship with Travis Green from their time in Vancouver. And, you know, he's basically said that the reason why he came to Ottawa was because of that connection, and played his way onto the team, even though he got waived on opening night and no one picked him up, and then was on the roster the next day. So good for him. He has an unbelievable shot. He's been really good on the second unit, on the power play. He was scoring in bunches on the fourth line to begin the year. He's obviously dried up, and he's played up and down the lineup. He's played with Stützle. He's played with Batherson and Norris a little bit. And then he's kind of fallen back to the fourth line. But he's been a really good utility player, and good for him. You know, he played himself into a position to stay in the league at the very least for a year or two, if not longer, hopefully. And he's talked about how much he's focused on his defensive game compared to earlier in his career when he was in Vancouver, and even he was in had a cup of coffee here in Ottawa in 2022. So, good for him. Really good release, like just a really good shot, pretty good hands. Not the fastest guy, but he makes up with it with his brain, and shout out to him, because it's a great story, and hopefully he can. He already had his now has his career high in goals, and maybe you can add to it a little bit more in the next back half of the season.
If you want to make the playoffs, you got to find bargain bin guys. And he is the definition of a bargain bin guy. And, you know, we talk about Florida being that bargain bin, that savvy organization. So hopefully this is the start of good things to come within Ottawa and trying to find those guys on cheap deals and be like, you know, I can get 20 goals out of them and just keep them around the league and just give them another opportunity to continue the career. And yeah, he was so good at Northeastern. It's a shame that he never developed into the guy that I thought he would have been, but I'm so excited for him going forward, because it's that shot, man. When he had it in Northeastern, it was like, this can take him somewhere, and he's found it again. It's really nice to see. You know, the other thing I want to talk about with this forward core is Brady Tkachuk. And, you know, if you follow the league enough, Brady Tkachuk is the guy in Ottawa. He is, you know, he's just like his brother, hard nosed. I'm going to create chaos around the net, like someone you want on our team. I'm going to kind of leave this one open-ended, where we heard all the New York Ranger rumors about how, you know, there's tampering, he wants to come to New York. How would you kind of break down the situation? Obviously, he shot those things down pretty quickly, but what a wild 2 week of events. It was just story after story, and, like, you know, the owner firing back out, the PR guy and firing back. I'm like, this is not true. Like, what are you guys doing? Like, there's no tampering here. Like, what's going on? And even Brady was like, yeah, no, I'm not talking to anybody. But kind of for the listeners, just break down that timeline of events here.
Yeah. Basically, it started with obviously Larry Brooks' article talking about a whopper of a trade. The Sens PR guy, who used to be, you know, worked at The Athletic, kind of a, you know, an icon in the city in the media game. Ian Mendez tweeted out that next day, a whopper, basically the definition of a whopper, which means a big lie. So there's been a bit of back and forth. There was earlier in the season kind of talks about, or kind of rumors that Brady Tkachuk was, you know, maybe on the trading block before the Larry Brooks interview, and Travis Green came out and kind of flatly denied it. And then, you know, a couple weeks later after Ottawa lost to Vancouver, which really actually since that, since the Larry Brooks news has really, the Sens have kind of turned themselves around completely. So, and at the same time, New York's fallen apart. So kind of backfired for whoever leaked that to Larry Brooks. And then obviously Michael Anlauer came out, the owner of the Senators, dismissed the rumors and said, you know, Brady Tkachuk is here and he's our captain and we're not trading him at all. So yeah, I think, I'm not of the opinion that your owner should be dismissing trade rumors, and I think there's sometimes I think the best owners are the ones that let the hockey people do what they need to do. But there's a such thing as a new owner syndrome, and but overall, I don't think he's going anywhere, and I do think because he's American, because Matthew Tkachuk left Calgary, a Canadian city, to go down south, that there's just this belief and narrative that, all the Americans want to leave Canada. There's some truth to that for sure. But I don't think that it's always the case. There's a lot of Americans on this Canadian team that have signed long term, Josh Norris, Jake Sanderson. They do, both of those guys, their dads are Canadian, but still, there is some kind of there is a narrative that makes sense. At the same time, I do think my big picture take on the whole thing is if the Senators start to win, I'm not very worried that Brady Tkachuk wants to leave. Unlike his brother who left Calgary after they were successful. I don't think that's the case. I think there's a reason why he signed a long-term deal. I think there's a reason why he wants to be the captain and kind of vouch for that. At the same time, if they miss it, if they miss out on the playoffs this year, they struggle. He has 3 years left on his deal. Next year they miss it. I don't even blame the guy, honestly. Your career is so fine. He's seen his brother win a cup. So I think, as they, as they always say, winning solves everything. And right now, the Sens and him are doing his best part to shut down the rumors. But I think if they were 15-9 and 19-5, or whatever the record is, instead of 19-15-5, then we probably would hear louder rumors in Ottawa.
I think we would too. And the whole back and forth between Brooks and Menendez was just kind of eye turning. And the meme where the guy's eating the popcorn, he's just like, oh, I'm just going to take a seat here for the comments. And that's kind of how I looked at that one. I was like, oh, let's just see how this plays out and see how the drama unfolds. It's like watching reality television. But yeah, I would be shocked if Brady gets moved. It seems like he's obviously loved in that town. He loves being there. Things change though. Things, with time, if winning cures all, like you said. So if they continue to lose, I don't know how much more he lasts. Like, it's just the nature of anybody's like, I want to win, there's some pressure. I'm the younger brother out of two. My older brother's won a cup. It's, when is it going to be my turn? My dad's running around with him in South Florida. We're drinking out of the cup and having a great time. When is it going to be my turn? Like, there's got to be, if you're going to be an elite athlete, there has to be a little bit of selfishness in you as well. And it's just, you see it in any sports. Like, well, I got to do what's right for my family. I mean, as an example, in the MLB, look at Juan Soto. He went after the money. He's like, I got to do what I got to do for my family, make sure they're protected. And that could very well be a thing. Now, do I think that's going to happen? No, but that's why we have the discussion. We have to wring these things out. We have to put them out in the open. But, one of my last comments to you is here. We mentioned Tim Stützle, the guy who's got a really, really good stride. He's one of the top three strides I like to watch in the league. Obviously, great shot. I love the tinted visor look now. I'm not normally a tinted visor guy, but with him, somehow it looks good. He's that top line center. I think having him and also having Claude Giroux around, a guy who's been at that level, who's been an elite center, who's been the face of a franchise. Like, we talk about Brady, but to my Batman, to his Robin, in this case, Robin, it feels like, is Tim Stützle. Like, I get it. The superstar is Tim Stützle and Brady Tkachuk, but face of the franchise, it's Brady, he's the captain and everything. But Tim Stützle is just as good, and it kind of surprises me that he doesn't get enough national love right now. Because when you look at his game, it very good, strong transition game, great in the offensive zone. He creates a lot. I know he's a little under a point per game here, but everything that I watch, even his underlying metrics are strong. Everything that I've seen, strong. The on-ice test, strong. I mean, he's just fires a rocket. And when you look back at that draft, he was the home run pick, and Ottawa might have a home run here. It might just get over the wall, but it looks like it's going to be a home run because this is a superstar.
Yeah, in Ottawa, the fans call him Timmy Superstar. I think so far this year he's lived up to it, right? He had a 90-point season a couple years ago, and he's been playing, if not better, that year, and when I think he was 20 years old in 22-23 season. But yeah, he's been phenomenal. I think his two-way play has really taken a step under Travis Green, and Green would tell you that he's way better at, tracking back and stealing pucks off guys and just being a really hard-nosed 200-foot player that he really never was in his, first 4 years in the league. And obviously the skill is unmatched. He's so fast, he's so dynamic, he's so good on the puck. He has a pretty good shot. He kind of has everything to be just one of these guys that gets you 90, 100 points year after year. He's only 22. Sky's the limit for him, and he's been Ottawa's best player, and I don't think it's even been close, right? And he signed on a sweetheart deal for another, I think, 6 years after this one. So there's going to be, I think, a lot of good years of Tim Stützle. And Brady Tkachuk, as you mentioned, he's the face of the franchise. I think in a playoff setting, you just want that guy just being a, I don't know if I'm allowed to swear, but a something disturber all the time, and getting underneath guys' skins. But Stützle's just been that the face of a franchise, and a guy that can, I think, once he starts making the playoffs and you start seeing him in that setting, and he's just a dog. Like, he just ultra competitive, ultra confident. Trust me, that guy isn't too worried, doesn't mind the spotlight. So yeah, the Sens have their number one center, and that's how you build a really good team, and they have him.
If you're a national media guy listening to this, if you work for TNT, you work for ESPN, you work for Sportsnet, let's get Tim Stützle up there. Like, you sit and watch his game. Like, let's start hyping this guy up a little bit. He's been that good, and from what it was 2 years ago, I was like, keep an eye on this guy. Like, this is his breakout year. This is do or die. And I also like the fact that he took the long term deal, because he's like, look, I want to make sure my parents are taken care of. I want to make sure my family's taken care of. Yeah, I left a little bit more on the money on the table, but I need to make sure and have the stability of how my family looks. Because where he's from, he didn't, I believe he came from nothing essentially. So for him to,
yeah, like a modest background, like not even
yeah, nothing too crazy, but like considering where certain hockey parents are, where hockey families are, a lot of guys right now come from a lot, and just the nature of the sport, it's the nature of how expensive it is. But from him coming from where he was in Europe to where he is now, making sure that his family's taken care of, it's just all good things. And let's really try and hype this guy up here. And my last question to you right now as we wrap it up, can they do it? We've talked about this team making a run, making trying to make the playoffs as a bubble team, because what was it, a couple years ago with Buffalo, it was like, hey, they're turning it on, they're gonna make it, and they missed by one. Is this Ottawa team going to be like that Buffalo team where you're like, wow, they've got some great pieces here? Can we take that next step? Can we make the playoffs, or are we going to fall short by maybe a game, half a game or two?
I think if Allmark is presuming he comes back and is healthy, this team will make the playoffs. I think if they just have Allmark steady and ready to go, and he doesn't miss a huge portion of the season, this team will make the playoffs. They're getting the goaltending now. I think they're playing way better structured hockey. They beat Minnesota on a back-to-back after losing in Winnipeg, and just like a gutsy, tight checking game that, playoff teams simply win, right? That's how you get into the playoffs, is that you don't make it a two-game losing streak or losing a couple in a row. And I think this team has taken a bunch of strides. We haven't talked about Drake Batherson. He's a point-per-game player. He's been unbelievable. They have the talent, and now I think under Travis Green, they're playing to the sum of their parts, which they just simply weren't in previous years. And that's why everyone was so mystified why they weren't making the playoffs, because you look on paper and you're like, this is a really talented hockey team, but why aren't they winning, right? And I think now they're playing up to their talent. I think it helps that the East is, pretty bad, especially at the end, right? With New York falling out of it. Pittsburgh's been okay. The Canadians are making a bit of a rise, but there's no one really playing that well, at least at the back end, for that final wild card spot. I think they could pass Boston if they like, and their schedule really eases up because of this 9-game road trip. Like, 8 of their last 9 games are at home to end the season. They'll just have a swath of home games because of this road heavy beginning to the year against really good teams. So I think they've kind of got to where they should be if they want to take a stride. And you could even see them jumping up even to making the top three in the Atlantic, I think, if things go well, because of their schedule really easing up after a really tough one to begin the season. Or
Top three in the Atlantic, would love that, mainly because you could play the Leafs, or he could play Florida. Both have great storylines. Both would be a lot of fun to watch. Alex, we're going to wrap it up here. I'll give you a couple seconds to plug your work where the fans can find you. And thanks for joining the show.
Yeah, thanks, Brian. I always appreciate coming on. Yeah, I'm just writing at sportsnet.ca covering the Sens. I'm doing some World Junior stuff. So maybe we'll see some Canada, USA, maybe in the gold medal or something like that. But yeah, just at sportsnet.ca, my podcast Behind the Plays, you can find it wherever you get your podcasts. I'm doing a lot of hockey stuff. I had Ron McLean on recently. So David Amber, I'll have Kyle Bukowskis on. Obviously, I'm good friends with him. He's here in Ottawa and he's on obviously 32 Thoughts. So we'll have some cool guests coming up. And thanks so much for having me, Brian. And maybe we'll talk some Sens in the playoffs one day. That might be a bit fun.
Thanks for listening to the show. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to support the podcast, please share it with others, post about it on social media, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. To catch all the latest, follow us on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook at The Hockey 411. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time.